Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Let's read it together now, please. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the great opportunity we have this morning to hear thy word preached. God, work in our hearts today. Make us better servants of you, better Christians for those that we live around, work around. God, help us today. Father, if there's one in the room that does not know Jesus as their Savior, has been prayed earlier, that God, they'd settle that today. Now, Father, for all this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him this morning to help us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, as you know, today, of course, is the Super Bowl. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, you know that big jumbo screen they got in the stadium? We've got a link up to that, and we're going to project your face, and it's going to say in front of all the world, their cell phone went off in church. You don't want to be embarrassed like that, so make sure it's turned off or to vibrate. That will help us tremendously today. Now, it's the Lord's Supper Sunday, so we have to move quickly today. I don't mean to rush the subject because we're going to talk to you about heaven this morning. Matter of fact, if God will allow these next few Sundays, and I don't know how long, because there's enough material in the Bible about heaven to keep us preaching on Sunday mornings for the rest of this year. But now I want you to listen to me this morning, dear people. But in Revelation 21, in verse number 1, the Bible tells us there are two heavens. Look at the verse again, please, this morning. Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, we know a lot about the new heaven. That's described in great detail in chapter 21 and chapter 22 of the Revelation. It's the new heaven is the place Jesus said he's gone to prepare us a place there. "In my Father's house are many mansions," Jesus said, "and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the new heaven of Revelation 21, verse 1. It's a city four square, and that new heaven is the one we think of when we think of gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold and mansions 1,500 miles straight up in the air, dear people, 1,500 mile wide. It's a cube of 1,500 mile dimensions with a massive wall that goes around it, 216 feet high and 216 feet thick. And the foundation of that wall is laid with all the precious stones that people value so much today. Heaven mocks materialism. God paves the streets with the stuff that people think is so precious. That's the new heaven. That's the one we know so much about. Today I want to talk to you about the heaven that is now. It says, "And I, John," notice the statement again. "And I," see, John said, "and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." The heaven that is now is different than the heaven that will be. The heaven that is now is not a city four square. The heaven that is now, as far as we know, does not have streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. The heaven that exists now, there's a lot more in the Bible about the new heaven than the one that exists now. But for us to understand the new heaven, we need to look at the one that is today. Now, and I want you to listen very carefully this morning. First of all, this first heaven, the heaven that is now, the Bible calls it paradise. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus is being crucified, and on either side of him are two thieves. Initially, both thieves rail against Christ, join the howling mob, but then one thief sees Jesus return forgiveness for hatred. One thief sees something totally different about Jesus than anyone else, and that thief was converted on the cross and turned to Christ and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It was Jesus there in verse 43 of Luke 23 who said to that thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul recounts a day in his ministry when he was stoned to death outside the city of Lystra. And an angry mob came upon him and they pelted him with rocks until he died. And they took him and literally threw his body on the local garbage dump. And God raised the Apostle Paul up and gave him back to the work and the ministry. And Paul, typical Baptist, went right back into the city and went back to preaching again. While he lay there dead for those moments, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, who ascended up to the third heaven. And he says, was in the paradise of God. So now listen carefully. So we understand this about the heaven that exists today. The Bible calls it paradise. If you look up the word paradise, it speaks of a beautiful place, a beautiful countryside, those sorts of things. And it talks about heaven, the paradise that exists now, like a beautiful place in the countryside, rolling hills and those sorts of things. But that's about all it tells us about the actual place of paradise. But it's a paradise. Now, just like when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, that's one of the things I don't like about modern versions. They always cut down the Word of God. They tone it down. Mansion is a mansion, friend. When I think of a mansion, I ain't thinking of a split-level condo. I'm thinking of something big with the pillars and posts and all the stuff that goes with it. When I think of paradise, I think of some of the most beautiful places I've ever been to in my life. We were down in Costa Rica on a missions trip there, and the pastor was kind enough to put my wife and I up in a place to stay. And it was up by these volcanoes. There were three massive waterfalls down below the place where we stayed, and it was a swanky joint. There's no two ways of getting around it. I mean, it was a beautiful place. They had a big butterfly house that was the size of a football field. And you'd go down to the butterfly house and walk around. They had these big blue morphous butterflies the size of your hand flying around inside this. You stand outside of the place with these little vials of nectar, and these beautiful hummingbirds would come of all colors and types and shapes, and they drink out of the nectar and things. And you walk down by the waterfalls, and there's the lush gardens. And that place was just, that was over the top, quite frankly. It was spiffy. I think of paradise. That's what I think of. I don't really think of downtown Cottonwood. And I'm not knocking Cottonwood. I like Cottonwood. I used to live there. Don't misunderstand me. When I think of paradise, I'm not thinking of Los Angeles and rush hour traffic. I don't know why they call it rush hour. Nobody's getting anywhere in a hurry. But that's not what I think of. What do you think of when you think of paradise? Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Our loved ones, those people who died today who are in Christ are saved, that's where they go. They don't go to streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. They go to a place called the paradise of God. Now, it's important to understand that. Say, Pastor, why? Because we need to make sure our theology is right about the next life. That we don't get hung up on people who said, well, I died and I went up and there was this place and I saw this stuff. And it's amazing what people don't know about heaven. But what we do know is this. It is called a paradise of God. I've been to some places on this earth that seemed an awful lot like paradise. Cracker Barrel. Places that you would think, boy, this is it. I mean, this is the pinnacle. The first heaven, the Bible says it is called a paradise. Number two about this first heaven we need to know is this. It's where all the saved are now. Listen, I won't have you change the scripture due to our time frame, but please listen to this statement in the Bible. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The moment someone dies, the moment they draw their last breath in this mortal house, the next breath they draw is in heaven. You take one step on this earth, the next step is in heaven, the paradise of God. That's where the saved are now. That instant, that moment, that very second. See, death is just a snap of the fingers. That's all it is. You pass from this life to the next that quickly. There is no soul sleep. You don't go to the ground and wait. You go to heaven and meet God. That's the way it works. It's instantaneous. That's why Jesus told the thief Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not in the ground, today. Not someday, today, he said. Christ knew that day he would pay for our sins and give his life for us and dismiss his spirit. And the moment that he did, when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he caught up the soul of that dear thief and they went to meet God. That day they were in heaven. That's where they are today. You know what's amazing about this thing, my friend, is that all of our saved loved ones, all of them, they're there right now. And they're in a place called the paradise of God. And they watch us while we are here. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 comes after the great chapter 11 that details all the great people of faith who've gone before us. How that they are in the grandstands of heaven. So are your loved ones. So are all the saved that have gone before us. They watch. They spectate there what goes on here on this earth. They see it now. I do not believe they see every detail and moment about our lives. Matter of fact, and I wouldn't fuss with you if you disagreed, but you'd be wrong. But the truth of the matter is, I believe they only see us while we're running our race. And that's why he said to be sure to run your race. Let's face it, folks. We have the opportunity of electronic means to see things in the world where we don't have to be there. But in those days, if you weren't in the stadium, you didn't see the race. And if you weren't in the race, you weren't seen. So I believe they're in heaven today. And they look down and they see you in church this morning. They're in the paradise of God. Heaven is a place where the saved, they're there now. By the way, in a body that is straight, strong, healthy, will never know a moment of sickness, disease, death, nothing. They'll never know a moment of the battles or the struggles of this life. You don't go to paradise and have to struggle about paying bills. You don't go to paradise and have to deal with poor health. You don't go to paradise and have problems. I've been to Hawaii one time in my life, and that was just about all I'd really care to go, quite frankly. Though I wouldn't mind to go back to play some more golf. I would enjoy doing that. I remember being in an elevator coming down. We're in Maui. I'm in an elevator in a hotel coming down. The elevator doors open. There's this beautiful garden-like thing inside the hotel with the birds and the bird of paradise and the rushing water and pineapple stacked up all over the place. I mean the paradise of God. Right over there standing by this beautiful waterfall where a man and his wife arguing and fighting with each other. And I thought, why do you fly all the way to Hawaii and do what you're going to fight about back home? You should just stay at home. Don't come to Hawaii and mess with my paradise. You don't like it? Stay home. Or people, they take their children and they're running after their kids. Come back here, come back here. And yelling at the kids, man, you can do that in the mall at the house. I mean, what do you want to do that here for? This is Hawaii. Don't mess with paradise. See, it's not paradise if you got all these problems. Listen to me now. They don't have all these problems. You hear me? They're in a place of God today. They're out of this body in another one. They're healthy. They're strong. Everything is good for them there. That's the first heaven. That's where they are now. You know what we need to know about this first heaven? It's temporary. See, when it says in verse number 1, notice carefully, I saw heaven and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. What happens to it? Let me read it for you. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which, the Bible says, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, the heaven that exists now is a temporary place. It's a place where people have gone for centuries now, but it's not the one where, that we'll know for eternity. There's a reason for that, several reasons, but the main reason is this. Sin has been to the new heaven. Sin has been in the heaven that exists now. Satan is there, Revelation chapter 12, accusing the brethren before God day and night. There's been rebellion in heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he tells us there in Revelation 21, Look down, please, at verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. We can't have any remembrance of the taint and the damage of sin. Can't be any of that. God made us a promise of a new heaven and a new earth. New doesn't mean the old one with a good paint job. New doesn't mean, listen, you're not going to, people are not, that are in heaven now that had to experience the trouble of Satan's presence, we're not going to, listen to me, they're not going to have to see that forever, and neither are you. When we get to heaven, the new heaven, God makes everything brand new. It's not made over, it's brand new. New means like never been used before. New means like never been tainted before. New, we talk about getting a new car, and in reality it's used. That just means it's new to us, but it's not a new car. But if you get a brand new car, you put your key in the ignition, you turn it on, it's got 5 miles on it. That's what you call a new car. It's got that new car smell to it, and it's a brand new vehicle, huh? See, for the new heaven and new earth to come in, the old one has to pass away. It's a temporary thing. This earth has been tainted by sin. The place that's called heaven has been tainted by rebellion and sin. And God's going to make everything brand new. And when he does, everything will be made right and everything will be done right. You see in Revelation 21 and verse 4, they don't have the battle and the struggles of this life. They don't have the toils and the turmoils, but they do have sorrow. Revelation 21 verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Why? Tears in heaven. But Pastor, you said they don't have the struggles we have. No, they don't. They don't have to deal with bills and sickness and age and disease and problems. They don't have that. But wait a minute, look at me. They're looking at you and your life, and the only time they can see you is when you run your race. And if you get off track, where are they now? You ever been in a public place when you had children who were little and one of them got away from you? You ever flip a coin to see if you really wanted to go find them? No, just kidding. We didn't want that one anyway. Go ahead. Take them. Yeah, don't worry. If they pick them up, they'll bring them back to you. You ever do that and just panic? And just panic? We were in a store once when our grandchildren were with us, and I was with one of them. And the little bugger got away from me, and I was looking at something. I turned around, boop, gone. I panicked. I mean to tell you, I panicked. This day and age in which we live, your children have to be right next to you all the time. I panicked because I couldn't see them. I couldn't find them. They're in heaven today. There are tears in heaven today because some are looking and they can't find us. Imagine what it'd be like to have a grandparent who invested their life in you and you don't run your race. What it must be like for people of faith who gave their lives for the faith you hold in your hands, that book, just to see us ignore it, treat it like a piece of furniture, take a life that's been given us and just set it aside. There are tears in heaven. Oh, not over bills and health and issues. But you know something, dear people? There's been some sorrow in heaven, and God's going to make sure that's removed also. This first heaven, the one that exists now, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's a paradise of God, but it's a temporary place. Very soon, God's going to make all things new. You know what we need to know about this new heaven? Look at me. There's just one way to get there. Well, Pastor, that's true of heaven anywhere. That's right. The new heaven, the old one, doesn't make a difference. There's still just one way to get there. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In the context of John 14, when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas said, "Lord, how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's just one way to heaven, friend. That's all. Well, let me say it this way. There's just one way to heaven we could ever hope to have. There are two ways, actually. I should be honest and say that. Romans chapter 10 tells us if we can live a perfect life, perfect, from birth to death, On your own righteousness, you can get into heaven. But you have to be perfect. No sin, no messing up, not even a wrong thought or a wrong word or a wrong deed. You know as well as I do, every one of us blew our chance this week at least. Probably maybe the week before. That's supposed to be sarcasm. No one gets to heaven on their righteousness. We have to have imputed righteousness. That comes from Christ, the perfect one who died for us. We put our trust in Christ. We have salvation. God will not let you into any heaven unless you're as perfect as Jesus Christ. And you only get that by faith in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Sinners can't get to heaven but by Christ and salvation. That's all. No hope, nobody. Well, what about the Muslims? What about the Hindus? What about the Buddhists? What about this? What about that? What about it? Why do we have to be multicultural in our belief and practice? It's hogwash. Everyone that goes to heaven gets there by Christ, or you don't go, period. That's all there is to it. And I don't care if it's popular, acceptable, allowable, tolerant, or anything else. I'm not trying to be tolerant. I'm trying to be truthful this morning and tell you what the Bible says. You must trust Christ to go to heaven for your salvation, or you're not going to heaven. It's as simple as that. Nobody goes to the new heaven or the old one unless they have trusted Christ to get there. That's all. The only way. You know, we need to know about this new heaven. It's a challenge to us today who are saved. First of all, it's the challenge of hope. Now look, you die before Christ comes back in the resurrection and God removing everything and the end of the plan of God, you'll go to the paradise of God. You'll draw one breath here and the next breath there, just like that. Stood beside people's beds in the hospital when they just got the news that they had a terminal illness. Now, I have yet to meet one who didn't have a little bit of fear and trepidation about the thought that they could die. Some a little greater fear than others, but every one of them. And I always ask them, I said, so the doc's been here and talked to you about this. What do you think? And they said, well, Pastor, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little nervous, a little bit concerned. I said, well, of course. Who faces death, the possibility of departing this life, even people of faith, without some concern? That just takes an honest person. By the way, it proves you have faith. You have to have a little doubt with faith or it's not faith. But every one of them, I said, but let's talk about it like this. He didn't just tell you you were going to die. He told you you were going to heaven. I said, one day, maybe several months, maybe several years down the road, you'll draw your last breath in this life. And the next breath you draw is heaven's breath. And the next thing you'll know is an eternity in the presence of God, in the paradise of God. Now, I don't know about you this morning. As far as I know, I'm in good health. As far as I know, I'm anticipating many more years of life. I don't know how many those are, but many more years on this earth. I don't have an indicator that somehow or another I'm facing the certainty of eternity. Don't know that. Also don't know that I couldn't walk out here in the parking lot and get run over by one of you crazy Baptists on your way to hometown buffet. I'd turn into a hood ornament. I don't know that. Don't know that. I've been close to death so many times in my life, it's not even funny. But I know this. There is the hope that comes from knowing that you're going to heaven. Oh yeah, Pastor Johnson, we all hope for heaven. No. The hope that comes from knowing that you're going to heaven. It's there, dear people. Hey, it's a real place. It's something that you'll go to and you'll say, my soul, I can't believe how beautiful this is. And it's a challenge to us in the area of our hope, and it's a challenge to us in the area of God's will. They are watching us. All our grandparents, my wife and I, all of our grandparents are on the other side now. They're all gone. Now we are grandparents. Seems like year in and year out, we keep sending them to the other side, either from our church family or our own family. Some, what would seem to be long before their time. Others, 10 years ago today, my pastor, Brother Hiles, went to heaven. I was teaching in the Bible college down in the Bay Area when he passed. I remember how difficult that was to think about the fact that a man who had been my pastor and helper in my life in so many ways had crossed over to the other side. He put his hands on my head and ordained me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want him to look down from heaven and see me compromising on anything I was taught to believe or to practice or to teach. See, heaven isn't just something to look forward to. Heaven is something to look up to and realize they watch us while we're here. I want my grandparents to see me running my race. I want them to see that. They set aside their life, their retirement, to take me into their home and to raise me at critical times in my life. I don't want to see them look down and see me goofing off on the things of God. I want them to be pleased with what they see. Don't you understand? Heaven isn't just for me. It's for the enjoyment and the pleasure of the saved who've lived their lives for God and gone on to heaven. They trusted Christ. Not only that, but living your life doesn't get you to heaven. But when you're there, you're going to be glad you did live the way God wanted you to live. And then to look down and see your face doing what you're supposed to do. Heaven should challenge us to run our race, to do God's will. I hear people say when they have a loved one pass away sometime after they're gone, I feel their presence here. Now, sometimes it's a little creepy the way they put it, like, you know, they're actually in the room with you. The truth of the matter is they're in heaven. But someone watching you, that doesn't make a difference. I played football in high school on an absolutely horrible football team. Horrible. I mean, the worst I had ever seen until I watched the 49ers play football. But we couldn't beat the cheerleaders. It was awful. It was just awful. One particular game we were playing, we were getting slaughtered. Just right after halftime, we went back on the field again, and we were down so far, it didn't take a Red Sea miracle to even get in the game. One of the guys ran into the huddle, and he said, "Hey, Johnson," he says, "your dad and your brother up in the stands, they passed the word on to let you know they got to come to the game. It's going to be the first time they ever saw me play." My older brother Jack's 2 years older than I. And he taught me all about sports and everything else. And I thought, my dad and my older brother are watching. Got to make something happen here. So I looked up in the stands. So I found them, caught their eye, waved at them, picked up my helmet. See this, number 55. See this? Watch this. Put the helmet down. I was playing on defense. Quarterback gets the ball. Turns, passes it, pitches it to the halfback. He's going to do a round-the-end job. All these big, fat linemen are out there running in front of him. Linebacker's job is to get that guy with the ball. And I thought, I'm going to nail this dude. I'm going to show my dad, my father, my elder brother, they're going to see something magnificent right here. And I ran over there with everything I had, and I went to deliver on that guy and jump over these fellas and tear his head off. And some little skinny cornerback ran up and tackled the guy right in front of me on my team, tackled him right in front of me. I didn't get to hit anybody. So I hit the referee. He was standing there, next man available. Whoa! You know, they're really sensitive about that kind of stuff. Then I got up and went like this, and my dad and my brother went, "Yeah, right, we're going to go." I wanted them to see something. It wasn't good, but I wanted them to see something. I know that Jesus watches me. I know that. And he watches us from heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high, dear people. He watches us. Heaven should be a challenge to us to do something worthy of the salvation God has given you and something worthy of the life people have invested in you. It is a beautiful place. And it's right there on the other side of a heartbeat, just right there, that close. Are you going to heaven? Do you live like you're going to heaven? Do you live like the people of heaven watch you here? Because they do. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.